Check this out. New sponsor, Score Big. You save on every ticket every day. Yeah, and that's basically, you go on there and you can check on any events, any games, anything you want, any type of seats you want. You get seats and spots at events or games that you never think you could afford, and you kind of bid on the thing. It's pretty cool. I mean, you name a ticket price, you save up to 60% off that box office price. And the average customer basically saves 40% off the box office price. You could save up to 60%, though. Real simple the way it works, too. You just find a game or a show you want to go to. You pick your seating area. You name the ticket price, and you get your answer. I've done this. I put in a Yankee game, and I even looked at WWE stuff just to find out. I'm just curious, and because you can get all that stuff right there on ScoreBig. It's really cool. It's very, very fast. They got an awesome website. I mean, again, saving up to 40% on tickets to events that go unsold or stuff like that. Even events that most people think are sold out. You know, there's a lot of times offered hundreds and hundreds of or even thousands, I should say, of tickets left over. So, you know, Score Big has all that information for you on their website. They do a great job on this thing. You go to scorebig.com. It's all in there. I mean, big events, big games, anything, you name a ticket price. I mean, it's great. Any type of percentage, you can save up to 60%, as I said. That's pretty legit. I mean, and most customers average on a 40% saving off the box office price. That's big in itself. You score big in itself. So, again, really fast, good website, fun website to spend some time on. So, next time you want tickets, think big and save big and score big at scorebig.com.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion,
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome! Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. We love this reaction show for the Celebrity Edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
Hey, what's going on, boys and girls? This is he, Taz, and welcome to the human podcast machine. My name is Taz, and this is a fantasy draft edition. So you know that means that I have one talented guy helping me with this, and then another guy who's a mooch. So let's introduce the first talented guy, and that's the professor, Mike, today. How are you, Mike?
Well, I'm doing fine until you brought up the mooch. You brought up the anchor, the guy that makes this show head right to the bottom of the ocean.
Yep. And you know what, brother? Mike, here's the problem. We made this Mark a star, and he's got an attitude.
You know, a lot of people say, Mike, today, what are you hot about now? Taz, I just need a few minutes here to set this up. I know a lot about your career. Broadcast partner for, what, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, something like that.
If I didn't know that you were trained by Johnny Rods in New York, I would have drawn the conclusion that you were trained by Larry Sharp in New Jersey. You know why?
Why?
That joint was called the Monster Factory.
I remember.
Uh-huh. I think you've opened up a Monster Factory branch in Manhattan because by putting Seth on your podcast, you have created a monster.
I love it. Segway the whole bit.
Thank you. Let me point this out. There's a Twitter account out there. It's called TNA Watch.
Yeah.
Now, let me be honest. I don't know TNA Watch from Adam.
TNA Watch, Crotch, Monch.
But you know what? Just the name alone, it sounds like somebody's on duty.
Sounds like they're watching TNA.
It sounds like somebody's looking under the microscope, maybe an extra layer.
Yeah.
They tweet Seth. They point out, and rightfully so, that he's Googling in an attempt to keep up with Mike Tanay.
Wow.
I thought it was very accurate on their part.
I feel like I just did the job in that last sentence, trying to keep up with Mike Tanay, not Taz.
Now listen to this. Not only is this monster... Not only does he deny these very obvious truths,
oh boy,
he proceeds to brand himself. Would you like to tell everybody what you hashtagged and how you branded yourself, sir?
People know. I'm the KFJ.
No. You branded yourself. You ready for this, Taz?
Yeah, yeah.
You ready for what he branded himself?
What is it? What is it?
I forgot.
No, now I know. I know.
Hashtag, go ahead, say it.
Associate professor.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, if there's one person in the 68 years I've been in the wrestling business
68
that is so protective of his gimmick, it's a guy that I sat next to in TNA for many years. What do you think about somebody that anoints himself? And by the way, how many of these fantasy drafts has he been involved with? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a crock of shit. I don't think that's right, Seth, that you did that. What gives, man? What gives you the right to do something like that?
It was just a joke, guys. It's Twitter.
No, oh. See, that's what you do. That's what you say things are a joke, and you just throw them out there like they're a joke. But you that's what you're a snake. You're sneaky.
Oh,
I'm gonna give you an example, Mike. We dropped a show earlier today, right? Now this podcast we're doing is Fantasy Draft Craziest Gimmicks, right? So we're gonna do this in a few minutes. It's gonna be great. But early today, I recorded another podcast, and I had Seth on the show where he gave some input, a reaction to a WWE show. That's what we did, okay? So what happens is he posts a show, so it goes out on iTunes. He goes in the hopper, the bathroom. And he goes, Taz, I'll text you when the show's up. I go, okay, cool.
Thanks for talking about my bathroom business.
Yeah, so I'm in here working, right? I'm burning a midnight oil while this guy's in a bathroom playing games.
I was working in there, too.
And next thing I know, I get a text. All right, Taz, it's up. So that means that's my signal to tweet out and promote, right?
Sure.
So here we go. I see people are now favoriting it, and they're retweeting the show. Who's the first retweet and favorite? It's from Seth's Twitter account. And the reason why, because he was on the show. He normally doesn't retweet anything unless it's a fantasy show.
That's not true.
That is true.
Not true.
Yeah, have you also noticed, and this is just an assumption on my part, but I know the way this guy is. When you have shows, when you have podcasts that feature him, like these fantasy drafts, as opposed to another one of your podcasts that doesn't, what would you say out of those two would be the first to be posted by him?
Oh, anything he's involved with, he posts. Quick. Like
lightning, like a lightning bolt.
And he'll ask me, when are we doing more fantasy shows, Taz? What are we doing?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Dude, that's not bullshit. You have an agenda.
I have an agenda.
You know, it's okay.
I'm trying to get over any way I can.
Oh, you're a mark. You're trying to get over, and you're swerving everybody. Okay?
Swerve.
Yeah, you're swerving everybody. But you know what? You're on probation right now, Seth. Double, as of this moment.
Double secret probation?
No, Mike, put him on probation. He's on probation.
He deserves to be on probation. He deserves to go to the wrestler's court.
Mm. Oh,
they would deal with him when it comes to associate professor.
I haven't heard that. So, in years, that's heavy.
So in other words, now that the guy's rubbing elbows with Ric Flair, you know, Ric Flair's got the great podcast, the Play It podcast.
Bro, that's a whole nother
story. That's a whole other can of worms. Let me just say this. What do you think? All of a sudden, we're going to get a tweet from Seth that he is the associate nature boy?
Let me talk about Ric Flair. I love the Nate. I know, Mike, you and Nate go way back. You're good friends with Nate. But here's the thing. Do you believe this, Seth, when Nature Boy Ric Flair's show launched and started off here on Play It, that this dude had to fly to Atlanta?
Oh, jeez.
To tell a radio station in Atlanta what button to press.
Oh, boy.
That CBS, he worked CBS to fly to Atlanta just to meet Rick.
That's exactly what happened.
Well, I guess he admitted it.
No, I'm being sarcastic. Well, but whatever.
Oh, I digress.
Now, you hear Mike. Mike is speechless, which is very rare.
No, it's something that I would expect.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. The disappointment in Mike's voice when it comes to you, Seth, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I was actually paying tribute to Mike.
Right. I know
Hashtag
how that works.
Hashtag KFJ douche.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Man, you guys are coming out guns blazing today. You know, bring it on. I love being abused.
Bitter.
Go ahead.
I'm bitter because I'm just bitter. Mike's bitter because he's still with TNA. All right, let's get into...
Let's see what Seth has Googled recently.
Top 10 craziest. So here we go. We're off to the races. We're going to take a break at one point, Mike, just to give you a heads up.
Or 2 points.
Or maybe... Oh, 2 points, really?
Yeah, maybe.
Now, at least I just want to clear this up. We're not going to have any fan interaction here from people's tweets, right? You told me, you said, look, what I'm going to do, we're going to get the voice of the fan with the knuckle, I mean with the producer.
With the knuckle.
So we got the producer, he's the voice of the fan. We no longer have to have tweets from people, right, with their terrible Twitter handles.
I'm a star, so I've got promoted.
Well, Zombie Freak 166.
What? What?
Oh. Yeah, well,
Zombie Freak 166. It's Sam Mushnick, by the way. That's his disguised name.
No, we put out an email. We put out a tweet yesterday. Well, this is an evergreen thing, but we put out a tweet giving out the email address, Mike, to all the fans.
Why would you do that? What are you thinking? God.
We did, though.
Oh, help us. That's probably one of Seth's ideas.
So, yes, yeah, some of these will be incorporated. CBS is like, Taz, you're not entertaining enough. We need to have fans give input. Not really.
Yeah,
CBS
right.
Alone. They actually don't bother me. I don't even think they're going to work here still.
Top 10. Here we go.
Top 10. All right, so here we go. We're going to do these are the rules. Mike, you first, then Seth, then me. Top 10 craziest gimmicks. Let's clarify what we mean when we say craziest. More like a,
yeah, what do we mean? Because you might want to tell the people that are making the list.
Wild man type, you know, crazy, unorthodox type of stuff. That's what this is.
The way I looked at it, I tried to come up with the strangest, the oddest, and the lamest.
I don't think the lamest fits in what I did.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you, Seth.
We'll see.
No. I mean, one in particular, yeah. But other than that...
You know what to me was kind of the litmus test on a lot of these? Think about this. Would you be embarrassed?
You need a litmus test if you think you have the, like, the clap?
It's
a different kind of test. Don't worry about that. This is the litmus test. Let me finish one sentence, would you, before you cut me off again? Would you be embarrassed if you had adult, non-wrestling friends over to your house, and I know, Ted, you don't have any friends.
Not many.
And all of a sudden, this came up on your TV screen. Would it be difficult for you to explain to people what you were watching? That's kind of the litmus test that I use for these.
Oh, you like if a certain competitor was in a ring and they had a strange gimmick and you had non-wrestling.
Yeah, and all of a sudden your neighbor walks over. You know, Taz, I know you got the big screen out in the backyard. You're out on the deck on the patio.
My neighbors hate me.
Then all of a sudden the neighbor looks over the fence. You know, you got the neighbor that just has the eyes that go right over there. You never see what he looks like.
Bro, my closest neighbor is about 2 miles away.
Okay, in case he accidentally walks through your backyard and he sees that you're watching this.
I have barbed wire, I have electrical shock wire, and I have a team of Doberman pinchers in
there. If the neighbor sees that you're watching this, do you quickly pick up the remote and switch it over to PBS? That's the only thing
I got. You are relentless, Mike.
Litmus test. Here we go. Hit the bell.
I think the show's just about over. Can you give us your 10 through 1 and just go and we'd be done?
That would be great, and I'd be out of here in 5 minutes. Where do I sign up for that?
Mike Tenay's on the board. Hold on. We got the drum roll. We got that for later.
Yeah, later.
And begin, Mike. What do you got?
Number 10. I'm going to start this off with someone that I'm going to say right off the top that neither of you have. Try to go a little international. Try to do a little educational when the professor comes on here. Number 10 is Milano Collection AT.
You're right. I don't have them. Who the hell is that?
Yeah, I know Google Boy doesn't have them either.
Google Boy?
I like the Milano cookies.
He called you Google Boy.
Google Boy.
Milano Collection AT. And I was fortunate enough to announce one of Milano Collection AT's matches in TNA.
I just want to say, as a former, well, maybe I'm still an announcer, I don't know. That is one of the most marketable names I've ever heard.
Isn't it beautiful? Milano Collection AT. Now listen to the gimmick. He's a Japanese wrestler. Playing an Italian fashion model who comes to the ring with his invisible dog.
Okay, that should be number one.
And see, folks, that's number 10 for me.
Bro, I never heard of this guy. That's hilarious.
Yeah, we had him in one of the World Cups. I don't know.
So during like
six, 8 years ago.
WCW time you had him there?
No. This was in TNA. He was a member of Team Japan. I believe at the time he was with New Japan.
Wow.
And we had him in the World X Cup, I'm going to guess, 7, 8 years ago, something like
that.
You
said cup. I thought you meant that thing, WCW, the tag team thing years ago that you did.
No. This was with the World Cup in TNA.
What was that in WCW?
How tremendous is it, though? Oh, a Japanese wrestler, Italian fashion model with an invisible dog.
Oh,
that's
the
it.
The dog is the cherry
that's
on the
top. I'm done, guys. Hold all phone calls. I'm done.
That should be number one. Milano Collection AT. What's the AT stand for?
Oh, now don't go down the road with what's it stand for. You know what? I think it's like initials of a name or something like that. You're killing me.
Seth looked really annoyed that you didn't know the answer, Mike. I'm just like,
good. Look at Google it, Seth. Google it and let us know.
He probably did it already. He's staring at his phone.
What stands for?
This is the funniest thing, Mike. This cat, Seth, is reading his list off his cell phone, and he's just looking at his phone. His battery's going to die by the time we get to number 7.
Great.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. All right. So Milano Collection AT. Okay. That's number 10 for Mike. Good pick, Mike, I guess. I
got
guy should be number one, but that gimmick, I'm going to find out who this guy is. What do you got, Seth?
The Milano cookies. My number 10, Mike said, you know, oddest or weirdest. A couple on my list are from just one particular incident that made him stick out in my mind. And number 10 I have is just the worst debut gimmick ever.
I know.
Is the Shockmaster. Mm. Who was also Tugboat, and among other things, I think U.S. Steel in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's famous. If you guys have ever seen it before, you got to see it on YouTube.
Mike and I never did.
Not you guys.
No. Yeah.
I know you guys.
Educate us.
Yeah, really.
They put some goofy helmet on him. He tripped, and the helmet fell off, and it was like just a comedy of errors.
It was hysterical. He fell through the sheetrock wall. It definitely was hysterical. But I got to tell you, man, I think we're already off to a bad start.
Yeah, no, that's I said. You know, that,
I thought I was good.
Nah, you were, but I even you, Mike, both you guys are a little. I'm a little disappointed in both you guys. I'm disappointed in the show. We're only up to 10 because I don't think you guys truly have the aptitude to understand what I'm looking for in the show.
I think we do. Give it some time.
Give us an example. Give us your number 10, and maybe I'll sit here and change my list completely.
Seth, learn from Mike. That's the right answer. He's smart. He wants to see the playing field here. Because I did try to text Mike. As opposed to last show, and the guy friggin' blew me off forever.
What?
Yeah, you. And then it's like, I'm going out with friends. I mean, it's like a Wednesday night, like at 10 o'clock, he's going out with friends.
Las Vegas.
It's in Vegas.
We don't worry about the clock in Las Vegas.
So I forgot it was 7 p.m. if it was 10 for me. My bad. Sorry.
Well, it's a good thing you're the host.
All right, so number 10 for me, just to give an example, is Eric Young.
Uh-oh. Now I can see we're not on the same page here.
See, that's what I mean.
It's a very controversial show.
Yeah, so that's now when I say Eric Young, I mean a guy who is unpredictable, a wild man, from this era, and he pulls off being a crazy man with credibility. That's what I mean when I say...
Of course, only you would say craziest gimmicks, and what you want is the list of guys that have played a maniac during their careers. See? Seth and I look at it like strangest, oddest. But no craziest gimmicks to you just means guys that.
I'm going to hit stop, and we're going to start over.
What do we do now? Now we got a problem.
I think we just keep going.
It makes for good arguments.
It makes for a great argument. And let's see what else.
Argument every number.
Pretty much.
Okay, number 9 for Mike today. What do you got, Mike?
Number 9. I'm going to group in a bunch of wrestlers at number 9. And obviously, we're not on the same page as you, but that'll make it interesting.
Well, maybe.
At number 9, I'm going to put all the Exoticos. Exoticos, for those who don't know, Seth, Google this, male wrestlers who perform in drag.
We really are not on the same page. This is going to be horrible.
Number 9, you've got the Sheik throwing fire. Looking up, I've got the Exoticos.
I want to apologize to all of my listeners and fans of the Fantasy Draft Edition for Seth and for Mike today because, I got to say, guys, these shows usually get, like, rave reviews. People love them. I think this is the problem. So this one's not going to get a rave review.
This is the Street Buster right here.
Yeah, and it's my fault because I was joking when I said you guys don't have the aptitude. I think I should have did a better job explaining what I was looking to do here. I feel
bad. Top 10 craziest gimmicks.
Maybe you should not use the word gimmick, just craziest
wrestlers. No, well, because, see, you shouldn't have said that. Now I got hot, Mike.
Oh, shit.
Mike, lay out. Here's the thing, Seth, because in my world, Mike understands this, everything's a gimmick. From the world I'm from, when we say gimmick is just a gimmick. You know, it's like crazy man, he's a wild man, gimmick. Fucking gimmick. That's all it means. You know, it's like I told you a story earlier about what Vince McMahon told me. Remember, I don't want to share it here. Yeah, what's your gimmick? You know, it's a gimmick. It's just something, Mike, please. Right?
It got to be the point. We had so many new people coming into WCW. Bobby Heenan did not want to learn everybody's name.
Exactly.
He said they could be here a week, could be here 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, he says. And he would do this with everyone, whether it's a wrestler, whether it's a guy pulling cable. He would refer to them as gimmick.
Yes.
Hey, gimmick. Hey, gimmick. How you doing, gimmick? You know what? They thought it was lovely. They thought it was endearing. He'd turn around and say, got no idea who the guy is. We call everybody gimmick.
Well, you see, that's the thing with me here. When I say craziest gimmicks, I didn't explain it. I thought I was dealing with two guys.
Shocking that would happen when you don't explain it.
Yeah. I got those wrestlers on here, too, though. I do.
The show is safe.
Yes, you're welcome.
I have none of them, but continue.
He's got guys dressing up like women.
Yeah, I know. He's got, like, cross dresses. I don't know what the hell. All right. So you got the Exoticos.
I have the Exoticos, which is male wrestlers performing in drag. They may not be gay. Many of them are. It's a very interesting subculture of Lucha Libre. Yeah. And let's face it, we've seen it for years, too, in the United States. Exotic Adrian Street, Adrian Adonis, sort of in the similar vein at times.
Gordon Bro and TNA when we were, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Wait, maybe that's why they dropped Adrian, Neville dropped Adrian, because of that. Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Cue the crickets.
Seth, who's your number nine? Oh, this is bad.
Okay, oh, we're headed right in the dumper. You knew it was bad when your opening story was about him hitting the mixer. So it's been straight since then. Ever since then.
We can skip the lesson. Just you guys can just make fun of me for.
That's probably better.
Add it to the compost pile.
Yeah. What are you compost? My number nine is also from one particular incident. Just stuck out with me as I thought it was a crazy gimmick. He had a lot of gimmicks, actually. John Nord, as the Berserker, he took a sword and he went to stab the Undertaker, and the Undertaker gets out of the way just in the nick of time, and his sword went right through the mat. And watching this, I thought, that's crazy right there. And that just stuck in my mind. There's a couple incidences that stick in my mind, and that one did.
Wish the sword would have stuck right in your head.
That's come on, Mike. You know, even for you, that's a little low.
A little tough. Little
come
tough.
Come on, dude. I'm only wishing me death.
Mike Wolf TV, like when he's not shooting TV and he's at home. This is Mike.
Tough.
And you're getting Mike in the morning.
Morning. Morning. The sun's not even out yet.
Yeah, this
Mike, if I wasn't here, who would you be making fun of?
It hasn't even broken daylight out here. You got me on so damn early.
At least this is a good show.
I mean, yeah, at least I'm getting a good payday.
So, all right, on that note, John Nord, definitely. I like that. I like that pick of the Berserker, Seth. I think that's good.
I mean, I know he did a Bruiser Brody thing for most of his career, but yeah.
Mike, I think Seth's on my page. You're going to have to change on the fly today. All right, so my number nine.
Screw all you guys.
My number nine is the Wild Samoans, the original, Alpha and Seeker. You know, remember they were doing the thing? That was like groundbreaking TV, Mike. Indulge, please, where they were eating the fish. Remember they had the fish in their mouth?
Oh, loved it. Especially the stuff on TNT.
Yeah.
Eating the raw food, tremendous. Love the Wild Samoans, but it has nothing to do with anybody on my list.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Mike, well, how about we could take a break and then call you back and you can have a new list.
Nah, I'm good.
All right, number eight for Mike today. What do you got?
Number eight in a completely different subject, but craziest gimmicks nonetheless to me. Believe it or not, there was a group that was based in, of all places, Argentina, called Titanes en el Ring, Titans of the Ring. And the TV show used to play in Southern California throughout the 1960s. This guy, the creator, Martin Carrufeyan, he was so far ahead of his time and ahead of the curve. So much of the stuff that you saw in the 60s as you're watching it on TV later became a staple in terms of the WWF, from the entrances that they had, the music that they had, to the characters. And that's why I'm going to group at number eight this group. He had everybody from The Invisible Man. He had the mummy, La Momia. He had Frankenstein. He had clowns. He had monsters way before any of the other territories really did.
Sometimes I've worked years ago for independent promotions and I got paid like I was invisible. That's happened. I knew I worked. I had boots. I never got paid.
That's my number eight on this list that has nothing to do with Taz's list. But continue.
Wait, whoa. I'm confused. Is number eight this whole promotion?
Yeah, the whole group. I mean, it's the whole bunch of them. I've got that many crazy ones.
You give me all the Exoticos. Then you get. Come on, pick a guy.
I'm headed there. The rest of them will all be singletons.
Oh, man.
Simpletons?
Simpletons to it.
I'm just wondering if it's going to be on Mike's list that I've heard of.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Seth, I think Mike's bringing the show down a little bit.
Education. Ooh. It's an education for you guys.
That's not the theme of the
show. All right, number eight. What do you got, Tim?
All right, I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this, but I put number eight, Muhammad Hassan.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because his promos, they kept it real. And, like, you know, he was a Middle Eastern guy, and it was, you know, the tense time. And I just thought... I thought that was a crazy gimmick at the time. And
really?
He was coming out. I know his career derailed and whatever else, but he had some... It was very real what he was doing.
Was very real, and I agree with all that, but again, not part of this guy.
That was a crazy gimmick to me. That's a crazy gimmick to have this Middle Eastern
guy.
What?
My number eight is Doink.
What?
That's a shoot. That's my eight.
Worst list ever.
was crazy. Doink was crazy. That's a crazy gimmick.
Yeah, real
a
crazy.
Guy and announcer.
What do you think I just had with number 8, the Titanis? Did I not say clowns, monsters?
You did.
Thank you. Okay. See, we're all on the same page here.
We definitely got to, in the future, have a little round table. We got to do a show.
As long as it's just you and I communicating.
That's your square table, not round. All right, so I had an 8 doink. I mean, because I thought Matt Bourne, or sometimes it was Matt Bourne and Mike, don't say it. Who was the other guy who played doink, Seth?
I don't know.
Of course you don't know. You know why? Because you don't have access to Google.
No, I do have access to Google. And I think
I'll
I
give
might...
you a hint. His first name was Ray.
And his last name was? Started with an A.
Mm-hmm.
Ray...
He's
A.
from New Jersey, where you live.
Oh, I don't know every wrestler from New Jersey.
You don't know.
Well,
Ray Apollo, bro.
I did not know that.
That's who it was.
Yeah. Anyway, number 7.
Number 7.
Ray Apollo.
Actually, Mike has Ray Apollo in number 7. No. Look, Mike, we got to take a quick break, brother. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with this list that's, kind of disjointed. And we will be right back with top 10 craziest gimmicks. And we'll be right back. I'm Taz. You're not. Sit tight.
Look, I got to go take a break right now. Hold up. Wait. You're not. Are you crying? Are you actually crying? There's no crying in podcasting. Get yourself a tissue. I'll be right back.
Let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So, it's June, and the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. Won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, welcome back right here to Human Podcast Machine, Fantasy Draft Edition, top 10 craziest gimmicks. A little bit confusion going on here amongst the team for the gimmick. I'm at fault. I'm the offensive coordinator or the head coach, general manager, and I really didn't lead the team the right way here on what we're doing. But, we're up to number 7 here. What do you got today?
Nice to see that you took the bullet for the group, by the way. Appreciate that.
Professional accountability.
Number 7, I'm going to give to a gentleman for career achievement and accomplishment because of 3 different separate characters. The gentleman's name is Barry Darso.
Oh.
Barry Darso was Blacktop Bully. A truck driver in WCW. Barry Darso was Repo Man.
Yep.
One of the craziest characters that I've ever seen. The car repo guy in WWF.
Yeah.
But he was also, towards the end of his run in WCW, he was a featured star on the WCW Saturday Night Show, and he was known as Mr. Hole-in-One Barry Darso, the professional golfer.
But you forgot one of his gimmicks.
Well, there's other gimmicks, but those are the 3 that I thought were especially crazy.
Demolition, bro.
Well, yeah, of course. But these are the 3 that I thought were especially crazy.
Well, first of all, none of them are crazy. So I'm throwing a flag. Throw a flag.
You don't think Repo Man, Blacktop Bully, or Mr. Hole-in-One, where he comes in dressed like Payne Stewart to have his match, where he offers his opponent...
Well, talk about Payne. I got a pain in my ass.
I think his name originally was Stuart Payne. But he offers his opponent a win in the match if they can sink a pre-match putt.
That actually is funny.
And just as they go to sink the pre-match putt, it's amazing, but every Saturday here comes Mr. Hole-in-One with the attack from behind. Now, you don't think that's crazy. It's the Barry Darso Award at number 7. By the way, I love Barry Darso.
I love him, too. I met him years ago. But I got to tell you, Mike, I'm a little disappointed in you. You're better than that. I'm just letting you know.
What?
Well, because the top 10 craziest gimmicks, That's not a crazy...
It's a career achievement award. Yeah. Repo Man, Mr. Hole in One, and Blacktop Bully. Come on.
If we were doing a top 10 multitasking wrestlers, then yeah. Or Utility Man.
Let's do it.
We should do that, actually.
It's the hat trick of gimmicks. Come on.
All right, Seth. Mike, please bring your A game next show. Seth, who is your number 7?
I think you're a little hard on Mike on that one. I got to be honest. All right, you don't care about what I say.
I don't.
You appreciated that, and it was finally a wrestler that you knew actually who the wrestler was, right?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't know about the Exoticos from Australia Argentina.
Just took a shot. You
know, some of us are educated.
I heard it.
Some of us are educated. Some of us just search.
I need to get need to catch up on my South American
wrestlers.
Say
number, Seth. You're on.
Boogeyman.
Oh, my God. That's my number 7.
Oh, my God. You've been rubbing off on me.
Oh, man, we both had 7 Boogeyman. You believe this tonight?
Yeah, I got him on my list.
Oh, Boogeyman, I mean, come on. He's eating live worms. He's got the makeup, the whole thing. It was a great, crazy gimmick.
Now, to me, that's a crazy gimmick right there. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I'm saying. Not about some dude dressed like a chick. No, that to me is not crazy.
Sure, that's not crazy to you. That's just fine. You don't have an issue with that. I understand it. In these times, Taz, you're right. It's politically correct to you. Fine. Good.
Look, he's hot because I didn't like his pick.
Yeah, toughest guy, toughest, biggest badass in the business. He's got no problem with it. It's fine. It's good. It doesn't seem crazy to me.
Mike, Boogeyman was great. It was a great gimmick.
Oh, I love Boogeyman.
Let me tell you some stories here. You got an hour? I'll tell you some Boogeyman stories.
Pull up a chair.
This guy was great. This guy was one of the nicest guys you ever met in your life. He was a hell of a football player, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that. I think he played for the Saints for a little while, because he's from Louisiana, I believe. And we always called him Boogie. I don't even know his real name. And Mike, you know his real name?
No, Google it for us, Seth.
Google. No, the worm gimmick. First of all, he's one of the nicest guys in the world. I bring my son to shows when he was little sometimes. He would just hand him like $100, $200. Here you go, brother. Here you go.
What?
I go, dude, what are you doing? He goes, it's a good kid. Give him some allowance. I go, Boogie, get the hell out of here.
I bring the kid with me on the road.
My kid would always want to come to the show. He's getting a payday from Boogie. Just hang out. He's making more than you. Yeah, he was. So this kid's getting a payday at 11 years old. So, but the worm gimmick, a lot of people don't realize how much money those worms cost, because they were special worms that are very expensive that you can digest or put in your mouth, or if they go down your and they can't get you sick.
And then you have to have the worm wrangler on the road.
Yes.
All the Monday Night Raw events.
Yeah, and they were always there. And, sometimes they were like either male or female wranglers. Very interesting. The boys, but I digress. So anyway, that was our number 7. I don't know, Seth is Googling something.
Martin Wright, the Boogeyman.
Oh, Marty. Yeah, Marty, Marty. Marty. Yeah, Marty. All right, Mike, who do you got in number 7?
Is it my turn already?
Yeah, it's your turn.
No. Oh, yeah, we both did Boogeyman.
We both had Boogeyman. I mean,
oh, you both had Boogeyman. Gotcha. Boogeyman. Number 6 for me is the Yeti.
Oh.
Now, in WCW, we had a guy named Ron Reese, 7'2", 7'4".
I remember who he was. I know.
College basketball player, I think it's Santa Clara. I'm not positive on that, but a college basketball player, fairly accomplished. And we introduced the Yeti, I believe, as a member of the Dungeon of Doom. Where the ice melts, the mummy appears, comes out complete with the game.
I told you guys Kevin Sullivan was a great booker.
That's right. Well, I know he's going to be on this list because he's on every one of your lists.
You heard Mike?
Of course you do. Number 1, Kevin Sullivan. There you go. Sign it off right now.
I got Buzz Sawyer at 3.
He's a mad dog. What's better, crazier than that?
Hey, let me tell you two son bitches something. Let me interrupt you, Mike.
Uh-oh.
I actually don't have Buzz Sawyer on my list because
it's an oversight.
It is, because you guys ribbed me. He should be number 1, but I digress.
He didn't say he doesn't have Kevin Sullivan, though.
I don't have Kevin. Of course, for the same reason. Okay, Mike, let Mike tell a story.
The Yeti, what more do I see? I think after a couple appearances in the mummy gimmick, we later morphed him into a ninja, as I recall.
Yeah, well, that was good stuff you guys did in WCW.
Number 6, crossing it off the list.
Also, Big Ron Studd, he was known as.
Oh, really?
Well, I Googled that.
Full
disclosure.
Was there, does it have the information? Did John Studd have something to do with training him?
Yes, he actually did train him. John Studd, there you go.
Yeah, I think so. That's where he got the name Ron Studd, anyway.
Wow, interesting. Well, not really, I'm just saying it to be nice. Okay, so,
Yeti.
Seth, 6.
I have... Gold Dust.
Okay. Number That's six.
Wild man, crazy guy.
Yeah, crazy gimmick. I mean, it's so bizarre, androgynous, you know, going with the Mike Tenay's dress like a woman theme, you know, and...
See? 5 seconds ago, he's burying it. Now, all of a sudden, he's a bandwagon jumper.
Well, he used the word like
androgynous. There it is. I mean, the reason he should not be a part of this, but I, you know, I digress.
Oh, Mike, he wants me dead. He wants a sword in my head. He wants me off the show.
There's nothing wrong with a sword in the head. I agree with him on that.
Well, then I can catch up to your injuries. I got something. Well, I had a sword in my head.
I'm going to throw his ass off this 44th floor in about a minute. You're going to hear a thump, Mike.
Yeah, I'll catch him.
Put me out of my misery.
So I like the...
Gold Dust, man.
Gold Dust, because when he was doing a Tourette's gimmick, remember that?
Yep.
No offense to anybody with the actual disease. It's a horrible
Craig,
thing.
Craig Carton has it.
Does he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He raises money for it, man.
We're broadcast colleagues. Okay.
That brought the show to a screeching halt.
I was going to say something on that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike. Thanks.
I'll just lay out for this. Taz has taught me that.
Okay. So anyway, I just saying that Tourette's, when he did that, it was very entertaining, and he showed that he was a little bit of nuts, how Goldust was even crazy. You know, he was stuck in this whole thing. He's your pick. Why am I explaining this?
Look, Goldust was he evolved. Dustin's a great worker and also did a great character. I mean, lasted a long time. He hadn't had a comeback recently.
Who's Dustin? You say like
Dustin
names,
Rhodes?
Like, you know the wrestlers. The wrestlers really.
He's on a first name basis with him. You know, he's got four of these under his belt. He's on a first name basis.
I know, Mike. You don't you love that the guys like this that they say the boys' names like they on a road.
There's a word for that.
Mark. Hi, guys, this is Mark. You know, Dustin Rhodes, he really, really developed that character quite well.
Especially when you just say the first name, it screams.
Yeah. Because everybody knows it's Dustin Rhodes. That's not a secret.
Listen to, Mike, listen to this. Listen to Seth, man. He has comebacks. He's quick-witted. He's so comfortable speaking on the mic. You would never think this guy's actually a technician here at CBS Radio.
That's the only thing I would think he is.
He finally looked at the board to make sure we're recording this. Hey, he's so busy marking out for himself.
Sure.
Why did I ever let this guy have a voice?
Because
what I've been asking from day one.
Oh. I love you guys. We can't wait till we do lunch, the three of us.
Number six for myself, I'm going with the Moondogs.
Rex and Spot?
Yes. Okay. The Moondogs. Mike Tenay is, again, no reaction. They'd be like, oh, wow.
Would you like me to shoot up fireworks or what? It's 4 o'clock in the morning in Las Vegas. You got me half awake and because I didn't react to the Moondogs.
What kind of heat you have with the Moondogs, buddy?
I love the Moondogs, especially the original Moondog, Lonnie Mane.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Google that.
No, but I just thought that when they were a team in the 80s, in the WWF era.
Their bones.
The whole gimmick was just completely crazy. And they weren't that bad of workers either, you know? So they just looked the part. It was very unique. I love the name Moondogs. I just, it's people still remember the Moondogs, you know? So, I just realized another team I didn't have on here. I should have had on here.
You use it for your honorable mention.
Ah, the Sheepherders.
Oh, I was thinking about Bushwhackers, too.
Yeah.
Look at my list has the Ding Dongs.
Yeah, see, Ding Dongs were great. You remember the Ding Dongs?
No.
You don't remember the Ding Dongs?
No.
They were in WCW. They were like a jobber team. They wear these masks, and they had the music.
They had bells all over
bells
their outfits.
All over their body. It was hilarious.
And then they had the giant bell in the corner.
The thing was funny. Mike, let me tell you something else about Seth.
Oh, geez.
So this is how I know that this guy's a Google boy, because I'll bring things up. Mike, let me ask you a question. Like, this happened this morning. We were at breakfast, me and this guy, Seth, right? Let's get off topic real quick in this horrible fantasy draft show we're doing. So, Mike, let's forget about me. Let's talk about me, though, for one more second. So, Mike, do you remember when
step outside the box, something you normally don't do. Go ahead.
Do you remember, Mike, when I was in the WWE or F at that time, when Sunday Night Heat was happening, Michael Cole and I were calling it from WWF New York. You remember that?
Yes, yeah, from the restaurant.
The restaurant. Do you ever remember a segment that I did called Taz's Kitchen?
Of course.
Thank you. A lot of people still treat me about it. You believe Seth never knew that I did that, but yet he could tell you history about, like, whatever, ECW, or, you know, if he's doing a show, and we're doing a show, and he's talking about a top 10 list of guys from Georgia Championship Wrestling or Florida. How does he not know something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just thought...
He's exposed.
Right.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm sorry. I forgot about your cooking segment.
No, it's not that. The Ding Dongs is the one that sparked me.
Well, the funny thing is, though, when you Google Ding Dongs, Jim Hurd comes up.
because it was his idea.
That's what it says. After that idea was rejected by the booking committee, he came up with the bell-wearing Ding Dongs.
And because remember, one of his other ideas was the hunchback wrestler that could never get pinned.
That's a great gimmick. I've always wanted a hunchback for that reason, actually. But that guy, Jim Herd, yeah, I'm hot at that guy.
Jim Herd?
Damn right. Never freaking returned my call. I sent a bunch of VHS tapes to him. Never gave me a look. And then when my man Bill Watts took over, ha-ha!
Aha! What happened then?
I had to try out and crack Joey Maggs, and then I never went back.
Taz tail.
Busted his nose, everything.
Nice.
Well, anyway. What number are we up to here? Five.
Five, and this is where the embarrassment
Hold
for
on,
me
Mike,
really sinks in. We got to take a break, thank goodness.
We're not taking a break, right? Not yet.
So, not yet? Oh, darn.
Number five.
Number five, this is where embarrassment for me sinks in, because your producer has this individual. I had the Shockmaster at number five. I mean, this was one of those things where when I worked for WCW, I would say about every 6 to 8 months, when we were doing voiceovers in the studio, we would have the tape librarian bust out the Shockmaster, and a group of us would sit around and we would watch Fred Ottman, Typhoon Tugboat, come out in the Star Wars outfit.
Oh, man.
It was absolutely must-see video, but the part that we popped for every time was the British Bulldog's reaction. That you could hear off camera where he says, he fell on his arse. and I believe the next sentence is, he fell on his bleeping arse. Guys, when you watch that about every 6 months, it's one of those things indelibly etched in my head. Shockmaster number five, move it along.
Shockmaster for five. What do you got there, sir?
I wouldn't be surprised if this is your number one or top three. I have Abdullah the Butcher.
Interesting. He's on my list, but that's a great pick. We'll get into that shortly.
Oh, so I can't think
Any
of
thoughts? Well, you can now if you want to.
He's the wild man from the Sudan, and it's funny. Once you hear stories about the real guy, he's just some nice guy, you know, but when he's wrestling, he's got plastic knives and forks and sticks.
Plastic?
Oh, metal.
Well, that shocking set that you would think that someone who performs that way actually is okay out of the ring. What would you think? He's like a maniacal killer outside the ring, too?
Yeah, Mike, because unlike you, I was a young boy when I saw him.
What do you think? Ed Farhat, when he goes home, throws fire in the wife's face?
When I was a kid, yeah, I did. Mike, I believed back in the day.
Well, Ed Farhat threw fire at me, and it really hurt.
There you go.
I'm not joking either. It's a shoot. Just burn my back off.
Abdul is a scary guy. He used to scare the fans.
I'm going to get into that later.
All right. Sorry. Don't you realize it's more important
what I say? Don't you understand that?
Okay, Abdul.
Both of you need to realize that.
Number five, Abdul.
Number five for me is Mick Foley as Mankind. Okay? I'm not going to get into Mick Foley's talents and his abilities as a multitasker utility man like you did about Barry Dalso, Mike. I thought that was a little bit of a stretch.
Huh?
But you heard me. But Mick
it's
Foley...
a career achievement award for three crazy gimmicks.
All right. So Mick Foley as the Mankind character, I thought, was extremely believable, crazy. His work, his promos, his look, the mask, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre inspired. A lot of people don't realize that, but that's what it was. I know that because I'm very smart. So that's it, number five for me. And number four for you, Mike. Who's four?
Number four for me, and again, it's our completely different list.
Of course.
I have Akeem, the African Dream, who was the one-man gang, of course. Is there anything crazier at the time, guys, than the guy that we knew as the one-man gang, who all of a sudden came out as Akeem, the African Dream?
Yes.
And do you happen to remember the dance moves?
I remember the dance moves, but how
was Slick, right? Slick was his manager.
Mike, how's that crazy? How is it crazy?
The wrestling business has affected you so much that you don't think it's crazy that the one-man gang, who was a Caucasian for 35 years of his life, that you've watched on TV for 35 years, shows up as the African Dream. What has the wrestling business done to you?
You know what? You got a good point.
Yeah, okay, Mike.
You're right.
I'm with you.
Thank you, Seth.
You got it.
Finally.
I mean, come on, yeah, a 450-pound white guy thinks he's a black guy.
Seth, please
and
get
remember
bent.
Just think of the dance moves, the stuff with the hand jive. Remember the hand jive?
Hey, what?
With the up, up, down, all around.
Hand what? The hand, what? Yeah, all right, I got it. Big giant white man acting
Happy
like
ending.
An African-American guy. I got you. All right, so you got Akeem, the African Dream, as number four. Who do you have, Seth?
This is just for you, Taz, to get on your good side. I got Kevin Sullivan.
He's got Kevin Sullivan and Buzz Sawyer as a tag team.
Yes.
Well, that's
listen, when I watched Florida Wrestling when I was a kid,
This guy was like the devil. He had his face painted, rolled his eyes in the back of his head. He was a scary dude.
Yeah,
Kevin
he was.
Sullivan.
Kevin definitely was crazy.
It was a crazy gimmick.
It's interesting because he spent so much time also with Mike Dan and WCW afterwards as a booker, picking WCW and stuff like that. At Raul Monclar has Disco Inferno as number four.
That's pretty crazy.
How is that crazy?
No, it's not.
Why are you? What does that have to do with anything? Now we finally go to somebody's tweet list, and he comes up with Disco Inferno.
It's called a segue, son. It's
worst podcast ever. Hashtag WPE.
No, I'm trying to incorporate the fans, brother. That's all I'm doing. I mean,
yeah, but incorporate them when it makes sense. That doesn't make sense from either list.
Yes, it does make sense because it was his number four.
What else has he got on that list? Anybody good?
Oh, Zombie Freak 0226.
Good.
He.
That's Jack Tunney, by the way. His Twitter handle. Go ahead.
He had Gold Dust at four. He had Gold Dust.
We talked about Gold Dust. What else?
That's why I didn't bring it up, and then Mike yells at me.
You don't have to do fours. You can say some of the other numbers we never said. Got anybody good on there?
No.
All right.
So,
great fan involvement.
My number four was George the Animal Steel.
That's a good one.
No, all right.
Mike didn't like
it. It's because he's a part of my number three.
Oh, look at that. Good segue.
Yeah,
apart.
So,
oh, geez.
George the Animal Steel, to me, was cutting edge. You know, he was crazy before crazy was crazy. The turnbuckle stuff, him ripping apart is just, you know, a staple in the histories of the business. You know, I'll let Mike get into more. I didn't know you had George Steel in there. I know you know.
He's just a piece of my puzzle at number three.
All right, so we'll go right into number three. So George Steel, I mean, but a lot of people don't realize, Mike, and you can give better detail than me. George Steel actually wrestled many years before he came to WWF as the Animal.
He sure did. He wrestled primarily in the Midwest, primarily in Michigan and Ohio, because he was a high school teacher and a very accomplished high school football coach.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
As well. Oh, for many, many years, for decades. In Michigan, a high school football coach. So, as a result, what he would do is wrestle within driving distance of where he was employed. Now, if you'll also look, for years, his runs in the WWWF were all in the summer. And so when he had his championship challenges against Bruno, primarily they were during the summer because he would have 3 months off and that would allow him to get into a program, and Vince McMahon Sr. booked him into that program against Bruno at the time.
Get this straight.
See there, so everybody learns a little something from the professor, not the associate professor today.
No reason. Ooh. Oh, wow. Jeez.
Oh, I got a follow-up for that. I got a good follow-up for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm intrigued because I'm a little surprised that George Steele, all the success he has as George the Animal Steele, for Vince McMahon Sr., that he wasn't making enough money that he I guess he wanted to just keep teaching because he has benefits, I would assume, and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm sure that was part of it, and I think also if you go back to the 60s and 70s, I don't think the payoffs really were what they were and once it became a national entity. But you know, it was just one of those things for George Steele, Jim Myers, right?
Yep. Jim.
To supplement the income, right? Not a bad way to do it.
I hear you, brother. All right, who's?
But anyway, George Steele. Let me just say, he wasn't a solo pick for me, but he was part of the Oddities.
What?
So just on mere numbers alone, my next pick is the Oddities. I think you guys remember Kerrigan.
Wait a minute. Can I finish?
Let me just say.
Why are you picking another guy?
I'm not picking another guy. George Steele was a member of the Oddities. I said this is all going to come around. Let me tell a little story here. The Oddities were a group with Golga.
Yeah.
You remember Golga? He wore a basketball for a mask.
A show for WWF in Detroit. Coincidentally, a Raw where me, Sabu, Van Damme, whatever, we were part of ECW still. It's a whole thing happened backstage. And the Oddities were in their prime. But why are you bringing up the Oddities?
I'm because George Steele was a member of the Oddities. He was known as the original Oddity, which brings it all full circle around, because you referred to him as being one of the originals in terms of these crazy characters.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I just thought we'd maybe do a little education there with my pick.
Okay, Mike. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And,
wow. No appreciation for an education.
Actually, I appreciate it a lot, Mike.
Thanks, Seth.
You also
appreciate it, buddy. Thanks.
You gave me a great opportunity to bring up our favorite author.
Oh, no. We're not going back to the Gary Hart book again.
Gary Hart actually broke in with Jim Myers. In the book, he said that Bruno toured Michigan, and he loved Jim so much that he asked him to come along, and Gary tried to tag along, but he didn't want any part of Gary in the WWF.
Wow.
So, yeah. We can't get the show without mentioning the book.
No, well, that's the gimmick. All right, the best, I mean, I have the best number three here.
I didn't do my number three yet.
Oh, okay, sorry.
My number three is your buddy, Homicidal, Suicidal, Genocidal, Sabu, at number three.
Why didn't I have Sabu on my list?
Because you hate him.
No, I don't hate him.
No, I know.
He's been on my show.
He has,
Sabu.
I heard that.
So, yeah, anybody that's on your show you don't hate, right?
Well, once they come on, then I like them. Yeah, that's true.
Well, how come you don't like me and Mike?
Well, that's a whole other issue.
Too many appearances.
Yes.
You ever heard of familiarity breeds contempt?
It's called overstaying your welcome.
Thank you. Pick up the pace, Seth.
Sabu at number two. Mike, that's a pretty good pick by Seth, I got to say.
He's a crazy wrestler. You know, when you first see him.
Oh, three, not two. That was three,
three.
Right?
It was three. And he's got scars all over his body. Like, oh, my God.
Shoot legit.
Wrestling's
ones.
Fake? Yeah, I don't think so. Look at this guy.
Him, crazy glue and scars. I was there more than once when I witnessed him do that.
Oof.
That's a shoot, you know. I mean, Sabu's not
he's legit crazy.
He's nuts, dude. Yeah, he's completely nuts. You know, but yeah, that's very good. Number two for Zombie Freak. Back to him. He had.
It's actually Paul Bosch's Twitter account. Go ahead.
Are these guys still alive? The names you're mentioning.
No, because he has an interesting list. I want to go over a Zombie Freak. I'm going to go a little bit over the map over here.
All right.
He had number 10, he had Doing. I think he meant Doink.
Doink, yeah.
Then he had number 9.
Oh, no, he meant Doing.
Number 9, he had Blue Blazer. Oh, he wasn't a crazy gimmick.
No.
Then he had number 8, which this is a good one, Bastion Booger.
Yep.
Then he had number 7.
That guy was disgusting.
Isaac Yankum, he had. So,
DDS.
Yeah. So, Kane. Then he had the Blue Meanie. Then he had Max Moon. I don't get Max Moon. He had Goldust. Okay. Stardust. And he had the Tasmaniac at number 2.
Yes!
Yeah, buddy!
Yeah, you were crazy back then.
I was crazy. None of you guys ever used me on your list. Mike, whenever we talk about the fans, like Mike don't get involved. He's such a snob.
Never been so embarrassed. Is it my turn?
No, it's actually not. And I've been with you, and you have been this embarrassed. Trust me.
Save it for a test.
We've had many shows together.
That's true.
You have been. No, my number...
Trace.
Number 3. Oh, this is a good one. Today's going to love it. The Missing Link, Dewey Robinson.
Oh.
The best.
Nice haircut.
I mentioned the Tasmaniacs. That Mike's laying out because that means he's in his top three, too. The Missing Link, actually, I was inspired by him. The Tasmaniac gimmick, the jumping I would do up and down, for those that remember the Tasmaniac, I kind of took some of that from him, you know, and the wild Samoan look and the suplexes and stuff, something different. But that's where what the frig are you laughing at, Seth? I'll kick the shit out of you.
Gary Hart, in his book, had a knife to Missing Link's throat.
No. The ode to Missing Link.
God.
It's all about Gary all the time. Like, every time you guys say something, it triggers something in the book I read. It's funny.
The one thing I'll say about the Missing Link, you almost owe it to yourself to Google, and this isn't a knock at you for once, Seth, to Google Dewey Robertson and see what Dewey Robertson looked like when he just wrestled as Dewey Robertson in the pre-Link era.
Yep.
You owe it to yourself to do that.
Totally different.
You know what I loved? I loved the headbutts where he would grab on to the giant knot of hair on the side of his head and use that to really reinforce the headbutt.
Yeah, no, and his body was, you know, he was in such great shape. His body was he was ripped, but yet thick, big guy. Was he from Canada, Mike?
He was. And he was an older guy at that point, too. I mean, when you'd see the body that this guy had for his age at that point, it was amazing.
You know, I just Googled him, Mike, and he looks like Ken Patera with the hair and everything.
He did look like his face.
I think one of the other things, he would be one of the few professional wrestlers, I think, who may have made that. Did he make the cover of Sports Illustrated also?
I don't know.
I think, I know there was a big color spread. If he didn't make the cover... He's definitely in it. I remember when this was many, many years ago when Sports Illustrated did a color feature on WWF. And it might not be on the cover, but I think he is definitely in the issue.
I'll tell you this much. At that Guy Tone 1, He had...
Huh?
He had Kane at number two. I don't get that. But anyway, so...
Well, think to the early days of his career and the character.
All right. So, Mike, who do you have at number two?
Never more embarrassed. Show because, Kane because, I'm never more embarrassed because number two for me is the same as Zombie Freak 497 or whatever his name was. Zombie Freak 497. It's an all-time low, guys, for me. This is known as the bottom of the barrel for me. Bastion Booger for me, Mike Shaw. With coming off of his gimmick as the Mad Monk Friar Ferguson, and then transitioning into a man with a giant hump on his back who would come out and just be the grossest person just about in the history of wrestling. Anyway, Bastion Booger, I've never been so embarrassed that I have him, and so does Zombie Freak.
Yeah, he did have a crazy gimmick. It's not a horrible pick by you. I'm a little disappointed in you that you'd have him at two. I have a pretty strong number two and number one. Mike, you obviously are mailing this show in. Okay, Seth, who do you have? He just made that up. He didn't have...
I give you Milano Collection AT, and I'm mailing it in.
Well, no, because you see the list. You changed on the fly with the list. That's what you did.
No, I wish I had.
You hung up. What do you got, Seth?
I got Cactus Jack. I mean, you picked Mankind. I just thought of him overall as a...
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I mean, he was crazy. He was crazy as Cactus Jack. He was crazy as Mankind.
I agree.
You know, he did it so well.
He was great at it. He was great at it, no doubt about it. Big part of a fan of my show here, Mick is. He's been on the show. He loves my show. Mick loves me. Me and Mick go way back.
I didn't know that until I was on the show.
Yeah, we're good friends. Long time. Mick's a good man.
Must be the only podcast he can get. Is his phone blocked from all the other ones? Let's go. By the way, can I digress for a second?
Mike just digressed.
And say, since this is going in the tank, can I tell you about going to the other side of the tracks in terms of other podcasts?
Oh, well, you've kind of been diverting. You've been cheating on me.
But can I say one thing about going and doing the podcast of Jim Ross?
Yes, please.
I think Jim's one step ahead of the game because the producer for Jim's podcast is a mute.
It's a mute. Lays out.
And can I say in one word? Refreshing.
Thank you, Mike.
Continue. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Good over there, right?
With respect. Yeah. You don't have to do it at 4 a.m. for one thing. They send over a poo-poo platter.
Oh, I got a poo-poo platter. Oh, I got a big poo-poo platter for you.
You're treated with the utmost of respect over there. But anyway, sorry to interrupt
He does that down in Oklahoma, you know, so they're nicer down there.
Very nice
in New York,
there.
Bro, it's a whole different animal, you know that. And JR, you know, I love JR. He does a great show, The Ross Report. I've been on his, he's been on mine. We're allies, you know that. So, Mike, you know, actually, JR cleared it with me that because you're actually part of my show. So... And you don't realize you actually have a non-compete.
Yes, it's my huge exclusive contract that I have here.
You have a non-compete, but I have a first exclusivity.
I have a non-compete. That means that nobody asks me to be on their podcast. Right. That's my non-compete.
Oh, jeez. So my number two is the late great Bruiser Brody. That was my number two. I mean, Bruiser was not, there was any, I don't think you could find a guy that was more real. As far as the way he competed and his intensity, he inspired so many other wrestlers that tried to copy his style, his whole deal. Bruiser was, I never had the opportunity to meet him, but just an amazing performer, amazing. Frank Brody, I believe he played football for the Jets, right, Mike?
Well, I think, I thought his tryout was with the Redskins.
What about the Jets, though?
Frank, he might have had a tryout or a camp with them, too. Frank Goodish, yes.
His real name wasn't Frank Brody, huh?
Frank Goodish.
I'm not into the reading of the wrestlers' real names.
We just call him Frank.
Yeah,
Seth and I.
Allstate football and baseball in Michigan. Play at West Texas, as we know, and all the other wrestlers.
All the boys.
And with the Washington Redskins.
Oh, I was wrong. It wasn't
the
Jets. Oh, Wahoo!
Every now and then I get one right.
Wahoo was the Jets.
You can't question Mike Tenay. He's a professional.
Every now and then.
Wahoo was with the Jets, right?
He was.
All right. Well, I didn't have his right last name. I didn't have his
the right football team.
But I had.
But you had good intentions by having him at number two.
He's very good friends with Gary Hart, by the way.
Oh my God! Oh my. All right, Mike. Who's your number one? Drum roll. Hold on. Lay out.
Well, since we have a completely different list, none of this makes sense. But my number one is somebody that we've already talked about. I think Seth had him. My number one was the boogeyman with the worms and the alarm clock. However, what I'd like to do is go back and change all of this and come up with a list of the craziest wrestlers, not craziest gimmicks. To me, the Bruiser Brody pick is wonderful. No sense more talking about the boogeyman. Bruiser Brody pick, wonderful. I can probably predict who you're going to have at number one because yep. It's the one wrestler that really, to me, unlike anybody else, if you were in that building, you were on the edge of your seat because you were concerned. I'm not going to give away your number one pick, Taz. One other name that I would throw in there, though, as far as doing the Maniac Mark Lewin back in the
Good
60s and 70s.
Sullivan.
Speaking to the Kevin Purple Sullivan Haze. Connection, he then became Purple Haze with Kevin Sullivan. And that was one that I got to see in Los Angeles when Mark Lewin did a major turn in the mid-60s. And he was tremendous at it.
Yeah, he's great. No doubt. All right, so who do you have at number two? Yes, Seth. Oh, number one.
Number one.
That's all right. Who's counting? Come on.
Number one. Big drum roll.
Please.
Zombie Freak 428 needs a pick.
I have The Undertaker at number one.
Oh, come on, dude. Just such a WWE guy. How is that? Undertaker was not a crazy man gimmick.
What are you talking about? He's 7 foot tall. He's dressed in all black. His eyes roll in the back of his head. He's rest in peace. He's got power from an urn.
Sounds like Mike today after a broadcast.
No kidding. I hate it. I wrestled Taker. He didn't seem crazy to me. He seemed demonic. Demonic
demonic is crazy.
No,
Kevin Sullivan's
not.
On here. He was demonic.
No, Kevin Sullivan. Listen, stop. Kevin Sullivan would take a spike, an Asiatic spike, and he would stab people in the head with it. Like a violent. Let me finish. Please. Listen, you can't learn if your mouth is jabbering, okay? And trust me, I can school you, okay? So Kevin would take a pointy object and violently attack people. And stab them in their head like an ice pick. Mike, am I correct?
1,000% correct.
Undertaker did not do stuff like that. He was mean and violent and aggressive, but he wasn't crazy. He was cerebral and satanic.
But you don't have to act like a crazy person to be crazy.
I don't know. To me, that's what crazy is. I'm crazy! Jimmy Gutowski, a taxi. He was crazy.
I mean, this guy's an Undertaker, and he's like got his power from an urn. That's crazy shit.
I don't know, dude. You just lack so much talent and ability. What am I surrounding myself with you two? It's just horrible.
Makes you look better.
No, it's hurting you.
That's not a bad idea, sure.
Killing Independent Jerry. All right, so my... today doesn't know Seinfeld. He doesn't know that. Independent Jerry. All right, so number one. I'm up to number one, right?
I know who it is. Go ahead.
All right. Drum roll, please. Abby. Abdullah the Butcher. That's my number one. Mike, you knew that was it, right?
I thought it was going to be the Sheik.
You know, he is my sec. Like, I'm right. Him and Kamala.
How do you not have him on your top 10 list?
You're right. I don't know. I had Kamala and Sheik right there.
Just under your top 10.
Bubbling under, just outside the top 10.
Good timing, Seth. You just redeemed yourself, you
Sweet.
Shithead.
Yeah, right, he gives you a 5-second Mike Today impersonation, and you pop huge.
Oh, he's dying.
Gotta lay off those Fuentes. Fuentes killed me, brother. You're right, Tanay. I mean, I had Sheik and Kamala, man. Like, right, I didn't want to put them. Like 2, 5, 7, or 10. They're number one guys. Kamala, the gimmick, but especially Sheik and Abdullah. Abdullah, Seth said earlier, and I agree. I mean, I'm the first time I remember seeing Abdullah the Butcher on some Spanish wrestling channel. I was watching it like fuzzy on Channel 47 in New York. And I watched this guy wrestling from like Puerto Rico or something. It was terrifying. I was like, wow, this guy's really freaking me out. And so that's why I had my number one. But I had Kamala and the Sheik, like, right there with him.
I would have the Sheik as number one on my list of the craziest wrestlers. Going back to the 1960s when I saw him in person, I can tell you guys that being in that arena in Los Angeles, it was a totally different feel from him than any other heel, any other wrestler. And this is a territory that had Freddie Blassie. This is a territory that had a lot of blood. This is a territory that had a lot of violence. When the Sheik would come in, to that ring, when he would come into that arena, when he would come into that building, there was a tension like you could never imagine. That's why I would make him my number one overall.
Well, I know you hot at me that didn't have my number one, but I got to tell you, I agree with what you said about the tension when he was in the building. I mean, I competed against him in the tag team match when he was much older in Philly, in ECW, and it was he and Sabu, Sheik and Sabu, his nephew, against me, and I made this mistake when I interviewed Sabu because I thought it was Pat Tanaka. Who did I think it was as my partner? I screwed up again.
Is it Sullivan or somebody?
No, not Sullivan. Chetty? No.
Gary Hart?
And she came out, man. It was like in that hardcore fan audience there in Philadelphia during that ECW heyday, people were like terrified of the Sheik, dude. I mean, like, it was a buzz in that building. And it was really, he had something about him, man. So
imagine what that tension was like 20 years earlier. And imagine what it was like when you had a different educated crowd as well.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It was on the edge of your seat. And since my list was definitely in a different vein, a different direction than what you had, Taz, let me just throw a couple more names out that just popped into my head. How about Terry Funk?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, great point.
In terms of the crazy matches that he had through the years.
What, Mike, do you think this should have been listed as? Like, the guys that I'm bringing up and stuff, where did we screw up here, or I screw up?
When you said craziest gimmicks, you can see where the direction that I went. I went with the oddest, the strangest. I guess what we were looking for here, it's a tough thing to name, but there have been wrestlers that play that the role of being the maniac or being that crazy individual. I don't know would really come up with the name.
When I tweeted out to my lovely fan base on the Twitter universe, I said, please send me your top 10 craziest / wild man gimmicks.
Now, if you would have shared that with me.
I know.
And I'll just throw one more name out there, too. I don't know if you ever saw this guy wrestle especially in Japan. He was extra crazy there. Tiger Jeet Singh.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Did you ever see Tiger Jeet Singh when he would come into the arena where he had the saber? Where
yes,
he had
I
the sword.
Have. Yeah.
And he would go flying all over the building in Japan, fans scattering left, fans scattering right. Very similar reaction to when Bruiser Brody would come out, a very similar reaction when Stan Hansen would come out with the bull rope in Japan.
You're right. Forgot about friggin' Stan Hansen. Was a legend. Just great. We friggin' didn't mention it. I didn't have.
That's all right. That's what I'm here for.
I know. And then, how about
Papa Shango?
Please lay out, Seth. How about
totally different situation.
Yeah,
Papa Shango is coming out, doing the spells, doing the voodoo in a very controlled environment.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, we're trying to bring up guys like Stan Hansen, the original Sheik, Gypsy Joe.
Yep.
I mean, guys and Seth, you're not qualified for this topic. You're really not.
Okay.
Well, it's over, though. It's over. It ended.
Hope I redeem myself in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, you did pretty good, Mike. I want to apologize to everybody who downloaded this episode.
Yeah, by the way, double your money back guarantee with this.
Yeah. Ah, man, I got to tell you, I blame you, Seth, for this. I blame you for not giving me the right direction.
Isn't the producer's role to communicate from the host to the guest?
Well, usually, but my producer happens to be a megastar.
He's too busy answering his Twitter followers.
Brother, he's over, man. You got to see him around CBS. He walks around the office like he is king shit. It's unreal.
Unbelievable.
Bro, he's like Lawler in the Memphis territory in the mid-80s.
You know? Complete with crown.
Yeah.
I like
that. All right, we're done. All right, look, we'll be back with another future fantasy draft edition, guys. I want to thank you, Mike Tenay, man, the Professor Vegas himself.
Thank you, Taz. And like they say on PTI, we promise to do better next time.
Yeah. that's funny and it's true. Seth, thanks.
Yeah, whatever.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Look, guys, listen, thanks for downloading and subscribing to the show. I appreciate it. This was a fancy draft edition. I don't really know what the topic was, but we gave you a bunch of guys. And I'm Taz. You're not. Goodbye.